Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Dr.
Hi
Abigail.
There. Hi there. Welcome, 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 America and the world, to the Dr. Cupertino Show. We have a very interesting show going on today, and I sure hope you can stay the full 30 minutes. We have coming online with us the esteemed Colonel Dr. William Harrison. He is the former chief of police for Capitol Heights, Maryland. He's also a practically 40-year veteran with the police force. And, of course, he has some very interesting things to talk about as also the speaker of the floor for the International Platform for Peace. So we're going to welcome him on the line right now. Hello, Dr. Harrison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Cupertino. Thanks for inviting me to your show. I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The weather's beautiful, and we're waiting to hear what you have to say. We really appreciated your appearance a couple years ago out into the city of Los Angeles, where you had this just absolutely bone-chilling speech that really put the family dynamics out on the table concerned. And we know right now with what's going on in our world, you are here with some answers. America needs answers. You know why? Because the citizens are running to and fro looking for answers to all the chaos, the escalation of crimes and of all nature of civil and social breakdown. So we want to hear what you have to say that might help America. Tell us about your role first as Speaker of the Floor for the International Platform for Peace.
The International Platform for Peace is an organization that was organized and founded, and the headquarters is based in Los Angeles, California, and you're intimately aware of it, Doc, as an organizer and founder. And it's a movement that was designed to mobilize 1,000 women wearing white and 100 men in black to march on January 9, 2016, worldwide, throughout the United States and around the world. We globalized, we came together to proclaim peace, faith, and family. And the ideas behind it is to mobilize communities, citizens, families, politicians, businessmen and the like, to make them aware of the fact that without peace, there's chaos. And where there's chaos, then comes war. And so we're advocates for peace because we need peace within oneself. We need peace within family. We need peace within our homes, our communities, and the workplace. And we have moved away from having peace, which is harmony and tranquility, which enhances the quality of life, and fear has set in rather than peace in our society. So somehow we're working to mobilize associates and representatives across the United States to join the Platform for Peace and be advocates for peace through prayer tents and other mediums.
My goodness, that sounds like a big job, especially in the light that people are tending not to want peace. Their actions, their activities, their way of life is showing that peace is as remote as the planet Pluto. How can you move America? How can you move even a community when people that need peace the most is not really reaching out to receive it?
Well, apathy has set in, Dr. Cupertino. And what we have to do is proclaim peace one step at a time, one portion at a time. We have to find like-minded people that understand the importance of peace, and knowing that if we don't have peace, then we all going to perish. We either going to work together to mobilize, to get to understand the difference of each other's culture, our ways, and our mannerisms, and we either work together for peace or we perish. And so it's not about any particular race, color, or creed. It's about quality of life. And our children and our grandchildren are entitled to it. And we have to set the tone. We have to do it from a community-based level, grassroots level. We can't rely specifically on the politicians to do it because it's a people's agenda. And so we are advocating that we have to sear the conscience of people and bring them back to where we need to be thinking of peace, not only for ourselves during our lifetime, but those who are coming after us, and including generations yet unborn.
Well, you know, that's really on the hearts of America. In fact, it's on the hearts of the world right now because of the shootings there in Florida, where 17 were actually kids, the youth that lost their lives. And people now are out in the streets. They're talking against the NRA, and they're talking against guns and the violence that it brings. With that being said, what do you think the government or the administration is actually going to do, since this is a form, what some say, of chaos by this mobilization? What do you think the government's going to do in light of the chaos now behind those killings?
The shooting in Parkland, Florida, the high school, was a great American travesty. Let me say this from a police perspective. Guns don't kill, people do. Guns in the wrong hands of people who have mental disorder or untrained or of a young age that's immature should not be able to purchase guns across the counter. The gun legislation has to be revisited. Specifically, the AR-15, that's a weapon of war. That's an assault weapon. There's no need. Police departments, SWAT teams, and the like may have that caliber of weaponry. But those kinds of long rifles or long guns are not necessary in a civil society. And so Parkland is the epitome of what happened. So my condolences goes out to those families and members who perish unjustifiably because one was able to purchase a long rifle across the counter that seemingly, according to reports, had some type of emotional instability. We got to protect our youth. We got to protect our society from people. What do we need with weapons of that sort? Even hunting elephants, you don't necessarily need a caliber of a rifle of that sort. So we got to change the legislation. We got to have to improve security in schools, school resource officers, and the like.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that sounds very interesting because, you know, right now as we speak, America, the surviving youth, the school itself has taken a stand against the NRA. They're blaming the National Rifle Association for what happened and for their stand to continue to say, hey, you know what, this is America, we have the right to bear arms. Do you think that's just as far as the NRA is concerned? Do you think it's just that they be blamed for what happened there in Florida?
I don't think the NRA should be blamed specifically, but it's a two-head sword. I'm glad that the youth are mobilizing and we have a right to the freedom to assemble and the First Amendment and so forth and so on, but this is my take on this. The National Rifle Association is an organization that advocate for the right to bear arms in the Constitution, given the Second Amendment of the Constitution. It's not a problem with that. The problem becomes one when we have certain politicians that accept campaign contributions from certain organizations. Thus, it obligates them to support that organization platform. And so we have to be careful with that from a political point of view, that like local, national, and county officials don't compromise their integrity through campaign contributions, because then the borrower becomes slave to the lender, for lack of a better term.
Well, is this something that the International Platform for Peace is involved in, I mean, I haven't been reading where the platform was jumping on jets, deploying to Florida, trying to get involved in that situation. What is the stand of the platform for peace?
Well, the platform for peace is endeavoring to make inroads proactively before these kinds of shootings occur and that causes mass strife and chaos. We're proactive and we're trying to identify communities and citizens that will become a part of this movement. Parkland, like some other communities, or some parts of the community, Parkland is closed to outsiders, and sometimes you're perceived as outsiders. So we're sort of working behind the scene, and we're gathering information, gathering data, and we're evaluating that information that we get to see how we can get improved information to people in schools and businesses and other environments in certain potential locations where incidents could happen or shootings could happen. You can't. It's hard to prevent shootings, but we can take proactive measures and safeguards to try to protect those once a shooting occurs.
Okay, very good. Now, there's another organization right now in America that claims that they're doing the same thing. Is the platform for peace keeping up with other peace-keeping organizations on bombing in the U.S.?
Okay, say that again, Dr. Constantine.
Yes, there's a lot of organizations in America that appears to be doing the same thing or have as their goals and mission what the platform for peace has. Are you keeping up with those organizations and having any kind of dialogue with those that also are on the ground floor for peace in America?
Yes, we're interacting with other organizations, but I found specifically with the International Platform for Peace, our organization is not politically driven. It's more geared toward grassroots people, and it's goal-oriented in terms of mobilizing people, get people to advocate for peace, and through the medium of prayer tents, through the medium of going out speaking to certain speaking on behalf of the platform and certain organizations, churches, and civic organizations, and even before a state government, so whenever we receive an invite. We keep the politics out of the International Platform for Peace, and I'm not sure to what extent others might do that.
That sounds wonderful. Now, I'm going to step back. So let's look into the family. What do you think are some of the main causes for what appears to be America's breakdown and chaos as we see it? And let's give that your answer to the family. When the family breaks down, what do you think that causes, as far as peace is concerned, and this chaos that we see on a day-by-day basis?
Okay, the breakdown of the family is the main problem that I see from my perspective. After 3 years as a police officer, I've seen so many different things. But the fundamental basic family somewhat doesn't exist, because we can't expect politicians to legislate morals. It has to begin in the home. Parents have to, whether it's a single family home, mother, father, only parent in that home, or husband and wife, both parents, mother, father in the home, they have to teach their children certain salient principles about what is right and what is wrong. And then as they teach them these principles and they grow older, they have to transition their teaching into a medium where that child is still exposed to some positive teaching, some positive environments, whether it be the church, whether it be civic organizations without regards to denomination, or whether it be some of the institutions, whether it be some of the fraternities or whatever it is, the structure has to be set at the family level. And we have children now being given smartphones. They're beginning Twitter and chat room. But the parents got to interact with this. And I'm not letting them. Interaction with their children.
Okay, now, you know, that goes back to the family arrangements for working in the context of giving their children the cell phones instead of toys. You know, some of the toy companies are closing up all over America. But I want to kind of breach in here regarding social relationships. You know, the young man that did the shooting there in Florida, it was said he had no friends, he had been taunted, he had been mistreated there at that school. What relationship do socialization create when it comes to talking about coming together either as a family or a friend or a family or just as a community in general? How important in a social relationship to bringing about peace?
Social relationships, yes. Once the children are taught the fundamental basic moral principles within the home, they have to be taught how to respect and interact with others outside of the home. This unfortunate incident in Parkland sounded like the young man was fragmented because the basic family structure had fallen apart, and so as a result, seeking, I guess, whatever it was that he was seeking, recognition. We have to teach our children to seek recognition in a positive way, in a lawful way, in a righteous way, and not seek it wrongfully or illegally in a devious way. The influence of social media is so powerful that it can captivate the mind of those who are not folks, who don't have basic upbringing and basic principles and those who have not been taught to interact with others. We should not allow social media to take the place of parents and neighbors and friends and relatives interacting with children and family. We find a child that has a problem, we need to get them help. Because if we don't, then ultimately it's going to be an outward rebellion, and the consequences could be likened to Parkland, Florida, which was, again, a tremendous American travesty.
Well, Colonel Harrison, you know, you have really given us a lot here to consider, but now let's talk about this lawlessness in America and really worldwide that has taken center stage. Some are saying that the faith-based communities, the churches, should be taking more of a forward stance in their communities that they minister and preach. And they're saying if they did that, then a lot of what we see as lawlessness would not be. What is your take on that?
Whenever society breaks down and people turn to lawlessness, gives some people through frustration trying to get their calls heard, get their voices heard, and get their concerns heard and addressed. We don't need a lawless society because the vanguard to a peaceful society are your local police officers, whether it be local, county, state. They are the vanguard. They're the ones that separate us. So lawlessness comes when people feel that they are not empowered and the voice is not heard. We should never give way to that. Democracy we live in, we always have the interaction between one another. We want to be. Constitution says we the people. We the people got to remember that we have to abide by the moral law of God and the legislative law of mankind. With respect to the church, just taking a hit, people are not playing up in the way they should go. A lot of people are not in the homes nowadays, brought up in the church. And so the church is seen as an old institution that's no longer in effect. The church is relevant. The church has effect. Again, begins with the family. Then it moves to the church, and the church can do a lot of good. And it can help to intercede for people and help with our social breakdown in families and in society. But people have to return to church without regard to the denomination and seek a higher power, whatever they may call that particular higher power, and seek the teachings of that, which will help make them a better person and give them more security and give them a peace of mind. Peace has to begin within the person first, inwardly, then outwardly peace will be projected and peace can be promoted to others and encouraged to others.
Thank you very much, Colonel Harrison, for that. But I have one more question before we can continue. You know, when a major catastrophe happens in the world, people normally start running straight to the church. When major shootings happen, you know, on this Sunday, the next Sunday event, then everyone is sitting up in there crying, you know, with their head bowed down. We didn't see this time. We didn't see people running into the church, many of blaming God. So can we definitely say that God has some responsibility here or not? I don't think so, but our listeners might want to hear from you as also a minister of clergyman.
God is not the problem. People are. And it's easy to blame something or someone that one may not be familiar with. Whenever we have these terrorist attacks or mass chaos or mass shootings, apathy set in. We should never become complacent where we start condoning mass shootings, whether it be Parkland or college campus or the concert that was in Las Vegas a few months ago. We should never in the civil society develop a mindset that it's just another shooting. No, there are lives involved. There's something each of us can do about it. We can advocate for peace. We can promote peace. We can seek whatever religious faith that we might believe in or might come to believe in. We have to band together white, black, Asian Americans. We all have to come together, Hispanics. We all have to come together as a people, because if we don't band together and we don't work together toward unity, toward peace, toward prosperity in this country, then the opposite of that is going to be internal war and strife within, and thus that's what led to the fall of Rome, and maybe that's another subject we can talk about hopefully another day if I have another opportunity.
Well, I sure hope so. Yes, sir. You certainly will have an additional opportunity. In fact, I'm going to ask right now on behalf of our listeners that you do next week. Come on board. Every Saturday at 9 a.m. Really, we get started at 8, but I'm going to, you know, curly the list to see what time would be best. But we certainly welcome you back next Saturday to follow up on some of the answers, because I'm sure there's going to be something else chaotic that, as a member of the clergy and as a former chief of police, that you can actually answer. But now, tell us this, Colonel Harrison, how can the listeners reach you?
Yes, I can be reached via Twitter at WHARI_Raptor. Via internet I can be reached at the International Platform for Peace.org. Via email, WHARI1943@AOL.com. And on Facebook, just Google William Harrison in Temple Hills, Maryland, and I can be contacted through any of those mediums that I just mentioned.
Thank you so much, Dr. Harrison. Now, in light of the fact that religion and Christianity are supposed to, according to some, be the answer to our problems, how do you think, as a member of the clergy, you and others can help mobilize the black church community, the white church community, the Hispanic church community? How can you mobilize? What might be step number one and step number two for getting the churches back on board for assisting when these type of issues happen, such as what happened in Florida last week?
Number one, does the churches have to come together without regard to the denomination? Churches in the community have to come together, and we have to meet. We have to open a dialogue. And within those churches, the pastors have to take the leadership of coming together so that we can look at the larger issue beyond the four walls of the church. Look at the social issues that are going on, and the fact that the majority of the people may not be attending church now. So we got to reach out on the outside of the walls of the church. But the churches have to come together. We have to move beyond the segregation of denominational barriers, and the pastors have to lead that charge, and the pastors have to take to the street and interact with the people in the community and get them involved with the members of the church so we can come up with ways and solutions and proactive suggestions on how we can better improve our families, better improve our community, and better improve our society at large.
Colonel Harrison, I think you have summed up the answer to America's problems as far as race and as far as the breakdown of society, chaos. Hey, you have done a great job here this morning. Now, before we conclude this segment, can you offer perhaps maybe a 1 or 2 minute prayer? I'm sure there's a lot of listeners here. I'm looking at the dashboard, and they might be in need of prayer in a situation such as this, not knowing which way to turn. You've answered a lot of questions here, but why don't we conclude with a prayer? Would you indulge us, sir?
Certainly, Dr. Tina, and thank you again for the opportunity to be on your show. Let us pray. Oh, my God, God, and I, Jacob, Lord, we thank you by whatever name they may call you, whether they call you Allah, whether they call you Yeshua, whether they call you Jehovah, or just call you God Almighty. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, being able to live in a free country where those who believe have a right to worship and those who don't have a right not to worship. But we know that, Lord, there is something greater than man that has inspired us, has encouraged us, and that Lord directs our path and directs our ways. And so we just thank you, Lord, knowing that there was the oldest book that was printed back in 1611, the King James Version of the Bible, now is still the number one seller in terms of books in the world. So we ask you to touch those who may be ill, touch those who are struggling, Lord, with grief, to trust, touch those, Lord, who have anxiety, touch those, Lord, who are in disbelief, unbelief. Lord, touch them in a mighty way. Let them know that if they seek you, Lord, you will be able to take care of all of their concerns, all of their qualms, and you'll give them a peace that passes all understanding. We can't assure one another peace, but it is through that supreme being we all can find peace without regards to race, color, or creed. So, Lord, we ask you to bless the listening audience. Be with them. Encourage them. Let them know it's not over until Yeshua says it's over. God says it's over. Jehovah says it's over. Allah says it's over. So we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for Dr. Capitina and this show. And Lord, we pray that you would turn this nation back to you, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is our prayer. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And those who believe said amen, amen, and amen.
And amen. We can certainly say amen here in sunny Los Angeles, California. Again, thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Colonel William Harrison, for your words of wisdom and for assisting us with the answer to religion and church unity, stepping up their game. Thank you so much. Okay, listeners, tune in next week to the Dr. Cupertino Show. Same time, same number. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.